Okay, next siman over here in Kitzer is what's called, you can't do Nachesh, Einein, and Kishuf, which is basically different forms of witchcraft. And Torah says you're not allowed to do any of them. Now, it says, Leisa Nachashu, V'loisa Einein. So, what does Menachesh mean? A guy says, okay, this piece of bread fell out of my mouth, my stick fell out of my hand, or my son called me from behind, whatever. It's not a good sign, and therefore I'm not going to go on this path, on this road, because it's not mazeldik. Or they hear a bird chirp, and they say, oh, this is going to be good, this is not going to be good. All that is not allowed. Einin is also a similar thing. It's all basically all types of witchcraft, black magic, and all that stuff. Now, it's very interesting, machlekes, between a lot of the Rishonim. The Rambam writes in the laws of Aveda Zara, the Rambam writes that it's false, it's fake, there's no reality to it, it's absolutely shtusim, foolish. According to the Rambam, it doesn't exist. Talking about witchcraft, including magic. The Rambam says these things don't exist. All the Mefarshim ask on the Rambam. The Gemara is full of cases of witchcraft and black magic, and they did all these things. And they have a difficulty trying to answer the Rambam. But the Rambam holds clearly these things are fake, false, nothing, the shtusim. But most of the Rishonim say, no, it's real. It's a koyach that we learned in Chumash at the end of Parshas Chayisara, that when Avraham Avinu sent away Hagar's kids, the Bnei Apilakshim, and he gave them matones, the Pasuk said he gave them matone, Rashi says that he gave them the power of black magic. It's interesting, the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu wrote laws of Aveda Zara, 400 chapters and 400 books of Aveda Zara. It was very pertinent in those days. I mean, it was very prevailing in those days that they had a lot of Aveda Zara. And what the Torah says, you're not allowed to do it in any way whatsoever. Now, so the question is like, and the same thing, Ma'enein. Doesn't say when. Just said he wrote it. Probably simply afterwards. It seems that he wrote it afterwards. What? Yeah, but that's not, okay, one second. We're going to get into that. Now, there's a second thing that Torah says, Leisa Einenu. So what does Ma'enein mean? You give a time based on the magic. This day is good, this day is bad. This day is good to do a certain thing, this day is bad to do a certain thing. Okay? So that's what it is. So even Kitzur brings on this from the earlier Rishonim. The Kitzur asks the question, but we know people would like to get married when the moon is getting bigger, not when the moon is getting smaller. We know Tuesday is a mazel dika day to do things, to move, to get married, to do anything. Tuesday is a mazel dika day. So how do you reconcile with the Aveda Zara that you're not allowed to make special times? So he says they only do it for a siman toiv. They're not saying it's good or bad. They're saying it's a mazel dika day, but they're not saying this day is good and this day is bad. They're saying this day has a certain gula, a certain good luck to it. So that is allowed. Otherwise not. But he says, for instance, you're not allowed to give a sign. If this and this happens, this and this is going to be. That's also part of this black matter. He used to give signs. So all the Mefarshim ask, Mefarshim of Chumash ask, Mefarshim of Gemara, Rambam, Eliezer gave a sign. He said, if the girl comes out and she's going to offer me to drink and my camels to drink, and that's the girl. So he did give signs. So some Mefarshim say that those the Torah says are allowed was allowed. You know, it was this unique thing. Torah said they did it, they were allowed to do it, they were whatever. But otherwise, people shouldn't do things like that. For instance, even coming back to, let's say, getting married in a mazel tikka time, but you shouldn't postpone a wedding because you want to make it on a better mazel dika day. We mentioned a while ago that there was a minig in Chabad, it's brought down in the Minhogim, that people, with the exception of Kislev, Adar, and Elul, we would not make chasnas the second half of the month. Why? Because Jews are likened to the moon. When there's a full moon, it's good for the Jews, right? Kaima Sira B'Shlomus, it's a good sign for the Jews. So therefore they say that when the moon is getting bigger, it's a good time to get married. When the moon in the second half of the month, the moon is getting smaller, it's not a mazel dika sign. Because again, the Jews are likened to the moon. So they're getting bigger, it's a good sign. So even then Kitzur says, again, it's just for simon, for a mazel, for good mazel, it's not because the day is good or bad. He said, but you shouldn't push off a wedding date because of that. Oh, I don't, I'm going to get married a month later because you're not allowed to do. The Rebbe did away with that whole thing of the minig. In later years, the Rebbe said that people should get married ASAP. You get engaged, get married as soon as you can. Because the behavior of the world changed. People used to be more frum and more particular and more meticulous in dinim. So the Rebbe's opinion was it doesn't matter. Any day the Torah says you're allowed to get married, certain days you're not allowed to get married. Like Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to get married. Yom Tov, you can't get married. Shabbos, you can't get married. You know, Sfira, 3 weeks. I mean, those various dinim. But any time the Torah says, any day the Torah says you can get married, and that would get you married earlier, the Rebbe's opinion was to get married as soon as possible. There is halachically you could. We had a few weddings in LA Friday afternoon, and the chuppah was Friday afternoon, and then the suda Shabbos was the suda of the wedding. So you save them pictures and the band. They saved a lot of money because there was no meal with the band and dancing and all that stuff.
And it was Shabbos.
Yeah,
There's no Indian.
They have their inyanim. I don't know. A number of the rabbis got married Friday afternoon. But whatever. Okay. Another thing of ma'inim is what's called echizinayim. Echizinayim is what we call today magic. You know, you go to a magic show. Now, a magic show is not real magic. It's just the hand is quicker than the eye. You know, they do whatever, they do it in a way. So it says, that, by the way, also forbidden. I'll discuss this in a minute, more detail. Okay? It looks like he's doing things out of nature, and he does it, and he's not doing it. It's just like the... So he says, according to many opinions, they're transgressing a negative commandment of the Torah. They're transgressing actually a negative, and therefore, if you have the kitzur says, if you have the ability to stop it, you have to stop it. Now, if a guy is doing a magic show, then halachas the kitzur says you're allowed to go see the magic show because the guy is doing it and he's not obligated not to do these things, so you could go watch it. So in kitzur and a lot of other poskim, they don't allow what we call today magic shows. There are poskim that say that if you announce beforehand that this is not real magic, it's just the hand is quicker than the eye, and you basically tell everybody it's not real, so then there are those that permit it. But I know for a fact in 770, whenever they had a kids program, even before the Rebbe came in, because the Rebbe didn't come in during the program, they never allowed a kid's magic show in 770. It was never allowed. Nowadays, a bunch of Chabad houses, depends which Rav they ask, allow it, don't allow it. But again, in Kitzur it says you're not allowed to do it. You're only allowed to do it if a guy is doing it, then you can go watch it. But again, many poskim say that if you announce beforehand that it's not real, so then people say that it's not real.
So if Jew cannot have a parnasa from
magic. A Jew should not make a parnasa from magic shows.
Even if that's for going.
Again, he says, even in Belav, they're transgressing a negative commandment. And whoever asks him to do it is transgressing lifnei iver leisiti michel, before a blind man you're putting a stumbling block, because you're helping them, convincing them to do it and helping them do it.
So cards and stuff like that still
not. What, the card tricks? Again, that's what's called magic. People think that you're doing some super magic, abracadabra, you know, whatever. And so, again, some poskim say that if you announce beforehand that it's not real, then you could do it.
But everyone knows.
Speak to little kids that are watching magic show. Ask them if they think it's fake or real. I'm serious. Speak to the 5-year-old kid. Is this real or fake?
Your parents ever showed
it,
it's fake.
Okay, but a lot of parents didn't. Okay, that kitz is machmen not to do it. But Boskim right, there's a lot of Boskim that's right, that today's kishif, but I tell you, there's a big shail in Aloha about these healers. You know, that do, basically a lot of them are rooted in Eastern religions. Now, for instance, Christianity, according to halacha, is not Aveidah Zarah for a guy. Muslims definitely is not Aveidah Zarah. Now, for instance, Buddhism is definitely Aveidah Zarah. Or all those types of Buddha religions, and whatever they are all mamash Aveidah Zarah. Yeah, the Buddha statues are mamash Aveidah Zarah. Yeah, whatever, but I'm saying it's mamash Aveidah Zarah. So a lot of the healers do this hocus pocus with this Eastern religion stuff, and that for sure a Jew is not allowed to go to. Definitely. Mamash Aveidah Zarah.
Sadly, 25% of these sects in U.S. are Jewish
born. Well, it takes a Yiddish cup. To make money. The Yiddish cup started a cult to make some money. Anyway, but if it's, some people have energy healing. And sometimes it's a very fine line. You go to these healers that do it with energy. They put your hand and somehow there's energy coming out of their hand and they heal you that way. So that's a big controversy in Aloha. But anything that's rooted in any type of Eastern religion whatsoever is definitely mamash Aveidah Zarah. And therefore, you can't really even heal to Aveidah Zarah, because Aveidah Zarah is one of the three cardinal sins you have to give up your life for. So people have to be very careful with these hocus pocus healers, you know, that they have in India and all those places.
If you have a back pain and somebody comes and does this hot thing,
it's called a chiropractor.
No. you're away and you have a terrible back pain.
So again, if it's just
natural,
so you have to find out. It's not so simple, because if it's rooted in Aveidah Zarah, you're not allowed to do it. What?
Some of these yoga places, they have the statue of idols sitting there, and some exercise places.
Okay. You're asking the wrong guy about yoga. And I'll tell you.
No, I'm not talking about yoga.
Forget the yoga place. I'm talking about yoga itself. There's a big controversy. Okay, not the meditation of yoga is definitely Aveidah Zarah. That's a given. I got information years ago that even the exercises of yoga are rooted in Aveidah Zarah. Okay? I know a lot of Frumma Jews do yoga. It's not such a simple thing. There are Frumma people that do and they say, yeah, they know this yoga is, yeah, and this no yoga not, and this. And I get a lot of calls. They want to do a yoga thing in a Chabad house for whatever, for men and for women. It's not so simple. It's a very big shaila. Because according to information, it is rooted in Aveidah Zarah. And I'll just finish off with one last thing. In 84, when I mentioned this in the past. In 1984, the Olympics were in L.A. Okay? So it's in the Sheikh Chabad convention in New York. Not the Shluchis, but in the Sheikh Chabad, the women in New York have the convention. And the other Rabbi Shisterman from the side of the other side of town was asked to speak. He just lost his wife that year, and so he asked him to speak about the Olympics. He was an LA boy. The Olympics were in LA. So he spoke a whole thing, his whole speech, was about the lesson in serving Hashem from the Olympics. That was his whole speech. And he brought out, you know, the lesson in serving Hashem from the Olympics. That was going to be printed in a magazine called the Yiddish Haim, which was in Sheikh Chabad, Hebrew and English, Yiddish and English journal at that time. And all the articles would be edited by the Rebbe. And the editor, after he wrote up his whole speech, they sent it into the Rebbe. The Rebbe answered him. He told me this himself. The Rebbe answered him, don't you, in Hebrew, but basically the gist of the answer was, don't you know that the Olympics are rooted in Avodah Zarah, the Greek gods, the origin of Olympics? And the Rebbe said, don't you know, to the magazine, the Rebbe answered, don't you know that the Olympics are rooted in Avodah Zarah? Take out everything of the speech that had to do with the Olympics. So basically, poor guy, he ended up with a very small speech. But even though it's interesting, today it's late. But ask somebody today, what's Olympics? This is sports competition. You know, that's what it is. Nobody looks at it, rooted in Avodah Zarah, but the Rebbe had a different look. The concept Olympics is rooted in Avodah Zarah. It's still Avodah Zarah. Long. Machachin is a maitha mea mecha mea 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 mea